Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 4, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, Hal Lindsey had a report that is absolutely perfect for what we're studying in our Wednesday night class. It's entitled, The Awakening. And it's all about a spiritual revival. And that's what we are in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. We have the great parenthesis of spiritual awakening or spiritual revival. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 2. We haven't exegeted all of it. We will. But this is the perfect introduction, and it brought back so many fragrant memories in my soul, because there was a great awakening in the United States of America in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and Washington State University was right in the middle of it. Pastor Ron Breckel, who went to Dallas Theological Seminary and graduated from Dallas, was the pastor of the church. And when he took this church, Bethany Bible Church, on the campus of Washington State University, there was only about as many people as we have in here tonight. And then there was a spiritual revival. Campus Crusade for Christ came to WSU, and they went in and talked to Pastor Breckel, and he told them very frankly, he said, "You, Campus Crusade for Christ is not a local church. God has ordained the local church as the classroom for the believers growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now, if you want to be the evangelistic arm, then that's great. That's fantastic. But you're not a local church. And they accepted, yes, sir. And they went all over the campus of Washington State University, and I was one of the people from the staff members from Campus Crusade came to my room, Stevenson South, and talked to me and talked to me and said, there's a great church here. Old lady, there's a great church. Why don't you come with me this Sunday? Well, I'm too busy, you know. No, I got too much going on. Well, I finally went. I was saved, but that was it. I was a baby believer, knew no doctrine. I didn't even know rebound. And went in and sat in the back of the church. I was a back row Baptist. And Pastor Breckel put up top circle, bottom circle, and being in fellowship with God and out of fellowship with God and rebound, how to get back in. Nobody had ever taught me rebound. I acknowledged my sins to God right there, got back into fellowship with God. That was it. And I went back and back and back. Grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ right there in Bethany Bible Church. But not just me. The entire campus at Washington State University was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. And that church, who only had, actually they had fewer people than we have here right now. Of course, here's the problem today. Computers, emails. You don't have to come and get face-to-face Bible teaching. I feel sorry for those people. That's the only kind of teaching I wanted was face-to-face. Besides, I'm computer illiterate. We had a computer back here. It started smoking and caught on fire. Fire department had to come, and they're going all over. There's smoke all over. I said, I think it's my computer, and it's my fault. I don't know what I did, but I burned it up. And I was there night after night after night to get face-to-face Bible teaching. I loved being there and seeing Pastor Breckel. And he had white hair. White hair. Marine white hair, short. Blue eyes. And when he'd say, thus saith the Lord, and pound the pulpit, he'd face it turn red. Red, white, and blue. You wanted to stand up, sing the national anthem. Well, that little church filled up, not with adults, college kids. The entire auditorium filled up. There wasn't a place to sit in the auditorium. So they built a balcony, and then they filled up the balcony. There was no place to sit in the balcony. Then they tore out a sidewall and the side room. That filled up. Totally filled with college kids. A spiritual revival. But it wasn't just in Washington State University. It was all over America. And there were men that were included in that. Todd Kennedy. He was there at the Bethany Bible Church. He had the gift of pastor teacher. He went to Dallas Theological Seminary. Bruce Einspar. He was there at Bethany Bible Church. He had the gift of pastor teacher. He went to Dallas Seminary. And he majored in Hebrew. He was ahead of me by 2 years. And he talked with Dr. Bruce Waltke and Ken Barker, two Hebrew professors at Dallas Seminary, and said, you know, we got this Hebrew lexicon, Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Here it is. that baby. You have to come up here. You have to come up afterwards. See, the print is so small. Most of you would need a magnifying glass to read it. I'm nearsighted, so that's why I take my glasses off, so I can read the Bible and stuff up here. But then you become blurry. You're all blurry right now. But the Bible's clear. Well, Brown, Driver, and Briggs was worthless, because nobody could find anything in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. It had never been indexed. So Bruce Einsparg went to Dr. Walke and Dr. Barker and says, how about for my master's thesis, I index Brown, Driver, and Briggs. But it's a, well, you see how huge it is. Let's see, what do we got here? A 1,100 pages. 1,100 pages. He said, I think if we index BDB, will that count for our master's thesis? Yes. Can I can't do it myself. How about if I get some people to work on this? We'll divide BDB up in about five sections, and each one of them will get their master's thesis, will be indexing this. He said, they said, that's fine. Well, this, I was part of the making of the index. And by the way, I have another one. It's totally worn out. The pages are all falling out. So this is my second one. I got a nice and shiny second one. And there were five of us, along with Bruce Einsparg, that indexed BDB. It is the greatest tool that a pastor teacher can have to exegete the Old Testament scriptures. Otherwise, nobody was exegeting from the Hebrew Biblia Hebraica. They weren't doing it because they couldn't even use BDB. Now you can. And I go through and there in the Old Testament books we're teaching, Joel now, Zechariah coming up next. I'm in that all the time. And it's a great, great tool for the one who has the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Now that's the great thing. It's there. It's available. But you know, it's sad to say, but you can count on one hand the number of pastors who study from the original languages. I mean one hand. On one hand, the number of pastors who study from the original languages. And there are some that went to seminary and were trained in those things, and they say it's not necessary now. You don't have to study. Use your computer. Well, all these Bibles are translations. They're not the God-breathed scriptures. What's God-breathed is what God the Holy Spirit had the original writers put down. Put down in the Hebrew, put down in the Aramaic, put down in the Koine Greek. That's God-breathed. Lewis Berry Chafer, when he founded Dallas Seminary, he founded it for a reason, to prepare men with the gift of pastor-teacher in the original languages so they could study the God-breathed scriptures and teach the grace and truth of the Word of God. That's why Dallas Seminary was founded by Lewis Berry Chafer. Well, Todd Kennedy went to Dallas. Bruce Einsparg went to Dallas. Andy Todd was in that. He went to Dallas. All these men went there, learned the original languages, and then God set them up in local churches and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. Ron Breckel at Bethany Bible Church was phenomenal. When I would go to Baraka, get a few days off and go to Baraka, One time I was there and the colonel took me aside and he says, Dick, I want you to go back and you tell Ron Breckel he's doing the best job of any pastor in this country. You go back and tell him that. He's doing the best job of any pastor in America. Oh, that was fun to go back and tell Pastor Breckel that. There was a revival, but not just in Washington State University. There was a revival in universities all over America. There was a spiritual awakening in America. And that's what we need in America right now. This is what we need now in America. Not people sitting home and you know what? I really miss the people that love to come and get face-to-face Bible teaching. Not something on an email. Not something on a computer. But who love to get face-to-face Bible teaching. You know. Well, this is the perfect introduction to the parenthesis of spiritual awakening and spiritual revival. People sometimes forget the darkness of the late 1960s and early 1970s in the United States. Several groups worked toward a violent overthrow of the United States government. Terror bombings became all too common. Youthful baby boomers often saw their parents as putting up a facade of hypocrisy around their lives. They wanted something more than that for themselves. They wanted authenticity and meaning. So some of them put flowers in their hair and turn to drugs. In their search for meaning, many of them threw out the old moral and sexual standards of earlier generations. Many of them chose to search in futile, immoral, and highly destructive ways. But when people genuinely seek God, good things happen. Jesus explained this in Matthew 7:7-8. He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Asking, seeking, and knocking works. God sees the genuine search for things like meaning, truth, and beauty. Things that are only found in Him. And He responds lovingly. Virtue love. Jesus went on to say in verses 9 to 11, or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Those of us working on college campuses in the late 60s and the 70s witnessed something amazing. Massive numbers of young people began to search for Jesus. This was exactly what happened at Washington State University when I was there. Great spiritual revival. They didn't know at first that they were searching for him, but he is the truth and the meaning that they sought. And I think our nation would be 100 times worse today if not for the spiritual awakening of the young during those years. Today, once youthful baby boomers are collecting Social Security, America needs to hear from heaven afresh. We once again need healing in our land. We need a spiritual awakening in America today. On Saturday, August 24th of this year, something happened at Ohio State University. Former and present members of the Buckeye football team held a rally, and player after player gave his testimony and the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling them how Jesus Christ had transformed their lives. About 1,000 people showed up, almost all of them students. After the event, former Ohio State running back Master Teague III said on Fox News, quote, "Sin brings about death, and there is but one cure, and that cure is Jesus Christ. Everybody's looking for peace. Everybody's looking for happiness. Everybody's looking for meaning and purpose. But they're looking in the wrong places. Jesus is the answer, and we desire to share that." This is what this running back, Ohio State, said on Fox News after they gave their testimony and the gospel to over 1,000 students at Ohio State. Jesus is the answer, and we desire to share that, the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. This is one of several reports we're now hearing of campus revival in the United States. In the early 70s, what began on college campuses quickly spread to high schools, and it went on to impact the whole nation. And it can happen again. In Matthew 9:37 and 38, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The workers are few. A job needs doing. A job with your name on it. How do I know it's a job with your name on it? Because when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you were given two royal commissions. You were commissioned a royal priest to represent yourself before God. You were commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So the workers are few. There is a job that needs doing. A job with your name on it. But don't just work. Pray. Pray now, and you understand. For prayer to be effective, it needs you living the unique spiritual life of the church age. It means you living by the power of the Spirit of God. It means you walking by the Spirit. It means you growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's when your prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. Pray now and expect God to move. Millions are seeking. The rapture can happen at any time, but in the meantime, let us fulfill our royal ambassadorship. Let us represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And let us pray. I couldn't believe when I read this. I go, wow, I got here, and I said, that is perfect for introducing the Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, especially verse 2, the parenthesis of spiritual revival. 2 Corinthians 6. The outline of 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, we have the universal ministry of the church age believer. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 18, we have the doctrine of separation. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, the universal ministry of the church age believer, or every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. What Paul is doing is continuing what he just finished in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 says, now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us, royal family, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. Verse 20, now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin, the judicial imputation of all the world's sins to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in union with Christ, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. So that's what Paul is doing here as we get started in chapter 6. He is continuing what he just taught in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. We are all royal ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all in full-time Christian service. As a royal priest, we represent ourselves to God. As a royal ambassador, we represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we've exegeted that. It sounds like this. Now we, royal family of God, are all working together. We're all on the same team, full-time Christian service. Therefore, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we have the great teamwork verb. And that teamwork verb is soon ergeo. Soon ergeo looks like this in the Greek. S-U-N-E-R-G-E, long O. Soon ergeo. Soon ergeo is a compound word made up of the preposition soon with and ergeo to work. So literally it means to work together with someone. Soon ergeo means to work together, to cooperate, to help. And therefore soon ergeo teaches the principle of teamwork. Very important principle for the royal family of God. As royal family of God, we are all on the same team. And that demands teamwork. We work together for the blessing of the whole body of Christ and for the evangelization of a lost world. This is the universal ministry of the church age believer. The universal ambassadorship of the church age believer means we are all in full-time Christian service. We are all on the same team. And that demands teamwork. So again, verse 1 says, now we, royal family of God, are all working together. Soon ergo, we're on the same team. Full-time Christian service. Therefore, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And when you receive the grace of God in vain, the whole team suffers. The body of Christ suffers. The local church suffers. As royal family of God, we have been richly blessed with God's grace blessings. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we're imputed with the righteousness of God. A grace pipeline is established with the justice of God on one end and His imputed righteousness in us on the other end. Why? Because He wants to bless us, instantly giving us 40 salvation blessings, and then every day from that day to today, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security. God has lavished His grace blessings upon us. We are the recipients of salvation by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that established a grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world, temporal security, so that we might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. And therefore, when you make bad decisions to live out of fellowship with God, to live the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system, then you indeed have received the grace of God in vain. And the whole team suffers. The reversionistic believer living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, is very self-centered. So a question, how do we avoid receiving the grace of God in vain? The answer, by living the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skill, fulfilling the mandate of Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit, fulfilling the mandate of Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The answer is by attaining spiritual maturity and the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. So again, verse 1, now we, royal family of God, are all working together. We're all on the same team, full-time Christian service. Therefore, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And at this point, there's a parenthesis. Verse 2 is a parenthesis. If you don't have any parentheses there, put them in there. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 is a parenthesis, and this is the parenthesis of spiritual awakening, the parenthesis of spiritual revival. And Paul begins this parenthesis with a quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. He uses this quotation because in Isaiah's day, there was a phenomenal spiritual revival in Isaiah's day. Isaiah was God, one of the great servants of the Lord, and he was communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God to the southern kingdom, Judah. The southern kingdom, Judah, the people there had turned away from God and turned away from the Word of God. They were just like the United States of America is right now. Judah, southern kingdom of Judah in Isaiah's day, just like the United States is now. And so this quotation, the Apostle Paul recognized that southern kingdom Judah turned around. There was a huge spiritual revival. They turned back to Jesus Christ. They turned back to the Word of God. Unbelievers all over placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Believers in reversionism rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, grew up under the teaching of Isaiah and under the teaching of Joel. They grew up, and just in time, because Sennacherib had come down, surrounded Jerusalem. And we have an obelisk recovered from archaeology. Sennacherib was gloating and boasting, I have them like a bird in a cage, and I'm just going to go in there and snatch them up. And he would have if there had not been a great spiritual revival. But there was. And the unbelievers placed their faith in Christ. Believers in reversionism rebounded, started growing up in Bible doctrine from the great teaching of Isaiah, the great teaching of Joel. And because of that spiritual revival, Jesus Christ went down there and the Lord Jesus Christ slaughtered 185,000 Assyrians. 185,000 in one night. During the night. Now, when they got up the next morning, there were 185,000 soldiers laying there dead. all of a sudden Sennacherib thought, this is not a good sign. I think instead of continuing on, we'll turn around and go back home. And they did. As a result of that spiritual revival, the southern kingdom was delivered. Frankly, that's where we are. Is there going to be a spiritual revival now in America? We need to turn back to God and the Word of God. There's some positive signs. What happened at Ohio State? That's fantastic what happened at Ohio State University. 1,000 students came to hear the football players give their testimony and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were about 100 of them right there when they heard that. They all wanted to be baptized after they got done. Not that you have to be water baptized. You believe in Christ, you have spirit baptism. That's the one that counts, see. So now in verse 2, we have a spiritual awakening, spiritual revival. For he says, and we have the verb lego, and lego is used to introduce quotations, and here's used to introduce the quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. And then we have the dative singular of kairos. Kairos is a word literally, it generally means time. It can refer to a point of time or a period of time. And there are sometimes it's used of a period of time. In fact, it's used for dispensations, but not here. Here it's used for a point of time. Positive volition at God consciousness, point of time. Positive volition at gospel hearing, point of time. That moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That moment of eternal salvation. And kairos is modified by the verbal adjective dektos, which comes from the verb dekomai. It means to receive, to approve, to accept. And therefore, dektos means acceptable, favorable. The acceptable time, the favorable time, is when there is positive volition at God consciousness and positive volition at gospel hearing. And when you have a geographical area, and this quotation comes from the southern kingdom, there was tremendous positive volition at God consciousness and gospel hearing, a huge spiritual revival under Isaiah. When you have a geographical area of positive volition at God consciousness, that results in a great spiritual revival, a spiritual explosion just waiting to happen. And this is what Hal Lindsey was talking about in his article, The Awakening. And this is exactly what happened when I was at Washington State University. And not only with me, but with other men. Todd Kennedy became a great pastor in Spokane Bible Church. Bruce Einspar became a great Bible teacher in the Tri-Cities area of Washington. Mike Powell became a pastor teacher in Idaho. Andy Todd, awesome pastor teacher in New Mexico. Not only a great pastor teacher, but Andy loved to hunt. That's always an extra blessing when you love to hunt, you know. We got together for turkey hunts. Now I think the biggest turkeys are politicians, but turkey hunts and antelope hunts. And now Andy is in heaven and doing recon, just waiting for me to get up there, and he's going to show me some great hunting areas up in heaven. And now the verb epakuo. Epakuo. E-P-A-K-O-U, long O. Epakouo. All right, let's get a couple of points on this. Epakouo means to hear or to listen to. To hear or to listen to. Point two, God the Father performs the action of listening to anyone at positive volition to God consciousness and positive volition to gospel hearing and faith in Jesus Christ. God the Father performs the action of listening to anyone at positive volition to God consciousness, positive volition to gospel hearing, faith in Jesus Christ. Three, the personal pronoun sue is you, anyone, anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Now, normally, verbs take a noun and the accusative case as their direct object. That's most of the time. But there are certain verbs that take a genitive case, certain verbs that take a dative case for their direct object. We happen to have a verb, epakouo, that takes a genitive case for its direct object. So we have here, epakousa sou. Sou is the genitive case of the personal pronoun. So it says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. Point four, this is a quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. Quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. Five, the acceptable time in Isaiah's day was the great spiritual revival in the southern kingdom, Judah. The acceptable time in Isaiah's day was the great spiritual revival in the southern kingdom, Judah. Six, there was great positive volition at gospel hearing and faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Great positive volition at gospel hearing and faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Seven, there was a great spiritual revival. Great spiritual revival in Isaiah's day. Unbelievers placing their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation and believers turning back to God and His Word through repentance. That repentance started with the problem-solving device of rebound. They got back into fellowship with God, and then they listened with humility and positive volition to the teaching of the Word of God from Isaiah, great Bible teacher, listening to the teaching of Isaiah and the teaching of Joel, and there was a great spiritual revival. Eight, this great spiritual revival resulted in the southern kingdom, Judah, being delivered from the fifth cycle of national discipline. They were on the verge of national destruction. They were right on the edge of the volcano. But that's where we are today. That's where we as a nation are today in America. So this great spiritual revival resulted in the southern kingdom Judah being delivered from the fifth cycle of national discipline and the military invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrians. Turn over to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. And at this time, Hezekiah was the king in the southern kingdom, and he turned back. He turned back to God, rebound, and responding with humility and positive volition to the teaching of Isaiah And Isaiah taught doctrine and taught doctrine and taught doctrine. And in this great spiritual revival, all of a sudden, the church is filled up. They wanted to get the teaching of the Word of God. And they, thank God they didn't have computers. They didn't have emails. They had to actually go and see Isaiah face to face. Now, I don't blame a lot of people for not wanting to come in and see me face to face. There are a lot prettier faces than this. I'm not out to be a pretty face. But I love getting teaching from a communicator of the Word of God face to face. Pastor Breckel, I was there every night to get face to face. I started out in the back row. I wound up in the front. And then whenever I go down to Baraka and get a chance to see the colonel, I was right up front. Right up front. We went to a Bible conference. They were at pastors' conferences. I went down there and said, right up front. I just loved seeing the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher communicating the Word of God. And I had great respect. I had nothing but the greatest respect for those communicators of the Word of God. Greatest. And there was one time I was at a pastor's conference and I was in the second row, not the first row. I was in the second row and a guy in the first row. And he was moving around. He had a medical problem, but that's why he was moving around. But the colonel didn't know that at the time. And he goes, "Yo! Freeze!" Well, when he pointed, I couldn't. He's looking at the guy right in front of me, but it looked like he was looking at me. And he said, "Freeze! Don't you move!" Not only did I not move, I didn't even breathe. My heart stopped for several minutes there while he was. And then at halftime, people came running up to him and telling him, because he told the guy, "Can you see me at halftime?" They ran, told him, "This guy has a problem." So when he came up, just, you know, now he's really shaking. You thought he was shaking before. Now he's really shaking. As he came up, the colonel looked at him and says, "Hi, how are you enjoying the conference?" You know. But that's all right. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Now, I've listened to classes that are not face-to-face. Not, and it's okay. But it's not the same. It's not the same as being there for face-to-face communication of the Word of God. Isaiah 37, starting at verse 33. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria," Sennacherib, who has surrounded Jerusalem and ready to totally destroy them. "This is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here." Why? There's been a great spiritual revival. A great spiritual revival. There is now a pivot of believers, mature believers. And so the Lord says, he will not enter this city. He will not shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and deliver it. Why? Because as a result of this great spiritual revival, for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Verse 36, Then the angel of the Lord, this is a theophany, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, went out and put to death 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian camp. When the army got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies, 185,000 dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew and returned to Nineveh, and he stayed there. And then one day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, cut him down with the sword. His own sons murdered him. And then they escaped to the land of Ararat. Today, that's Turkey. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. The southern kingdom, Judah, was delivered because of a great spiritual revival. For he says, quotation of Isaiah 49, verse 8, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation have I helped you. This is the conjunction chi plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of hamera plus the genitive singular of soteria plus the aorist active indicative of boetheo plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun su. The conjunction chi is the connective chi. You translate that and. The preposition en, in, hamera, that's the Greek word for day or time. Soteria, salvation, genitive singular. And in the day of salvation, the genitive case of soteria is the genitive of description. The noun in the genitive describes and qualifies the noun to which it stands related, and therefore soteria describes and qualifies the noun hamera, day. This is the rest of the quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. Isaiah was sitting on top of a great mission field, a spiritual revival. In the southern kingdom, Judah, was an explosion waiting to happen in Isaiah's day. There was great positive volition at gospel hearing, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. There was also great repentance of believers turning back to God and the Word of God through rebound and maximum intake of Bible doctrine from these great communicators, Isaiah and Joel. And then we have the verb boetheo. Boetheo. That's B-O, long E-T-H. E long O. Bo a the O. All right, a couple of things. One, literally, bo a the O means to furnish aid or to help. To furnish aid or to help. Two, it means to come to the aid of someone. It means to run to the aid of someone who cries for help. To run to the aid of someone who cries for help. Three. Unbelievers cry for help in two parts. Unbelievers cry for help in two parts. First of all, positive volition at God consciousness. Positive volition at God consciousness. And secondly, positive volition at gospel hearing. For God helps the unbeliever with positive volition at God consciousness by making sure they hear the grace gospel. God helps the unbeliever with positive volition at God consciousness by making sure that the unbeliever hears the grace gospel. And 5, God helps the spiritually dead unbeliever with positive volition at gospel hearing by taking his faith in Jesus Christ and making it effective for eternal salvation. The efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit at salvation. So God helps the spiritually dead unbeliever with positive volition at gospel hearing by taking his faith in Jesus Christ and making it effective for eternal salvation. And that's the efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit at salvation. Personal pronoun, Sue, you. The dative case, dative of indirect object, the ones in whose interest and benefit this help is given. So the corrected translation. For he says, quotation from Isaiah 49 verse 8, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. And then it just gets better, this parenthesis of spiritual awakening and revival. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable opportunity. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this is the quotation from Isaiah. This is what Isaiah was teaching. And the people, there was a great, great spiritual revival in the southern kingdom of Judah. And they were delivered from the fifth cycle of national discipline. Well, this is the verse. This is the verse for the United States of America. Right now. This is the verse. For he says, quotation of Isaiah 49:8, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The great parenthesis of spiritual revival. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.